Here's what Connecticut is saying about Lisa Wexler.
You got chutzpah. You tell it the way it is.
Back to the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600.
And welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show. I'm going to be making a 16-pound prime rib tomorrow. I've never done anything like that. It's still 20 minutes a pound, right? So that would be 320 minutes. That sounds like a long time. I don't think I'm going to do 5 hours for roast beef is normally 2.5 hours, right? Oh, I don't want to overcook this thing. 203-333-9422 is our number. Welcome, welcome. Okay, great. We've got Sergeant Chris Engstrand on. Sergeant Chris Engstrand is a veteran of the Stamford Police Department with nearly 25 years of experience on the beat. He's currently president of the Stamford Police Association. He recently wrote an op-ed which was entitled, Do Not Banish Police and School Resource Officers from Connecticut, in response to a bill sponsored by Senator Gary Winfield that wants to do just that. Hello, Sergeant Engstrand. Welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show today. Good morning.
Hello. Thank you for the invitation. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. So let me just give our listeners, the telephone number 203-333-9422, if you'd like to give a comment or ask a question. So this, you know, I can't keep track, Sergeant, of all the bills coming out of Hartford. I have to tell you, I'm doing my best, but I can't keep track. I've never seen so many. So, okay. So now tell us about this bill and what is it and what does it want to do? Oh, I think he hung up by mistake. He'll call right back. He must have just gotten disconnected. And Sergeant Engstrand wrote an opinion, Do Not Banish Police and School Resource Officers from Connecticut. It was published in the Stamford Advocate a couple of weeks ago. And it takes on a bill that announces that it wants to come up with a mechanism to abolish having school resource officers and police officers on public school campuses. That's what the bill says it wants to do. Now, the bill is rather naked. It doesn't really provide those mechanisms, but it's out there. And the sergeant, who is the president of the Stamford Police Association, wrote it. And I think we've lost him, and he's probably coming right back on. Sergeant, are you there? Hi, Sergeant.
I'm here.
Okay, good.
There we go. Sorry about that.
That's okay. So, Sergeant, tell us what prompted you to write this op-ed.
Well, with all the bills that are coming out of Hartford and everything we're talking about in the last year since, the George Floyd incident, which is tragic, and don't get me wrong, in any way, shape, or form, there's not a law enforcement officer in America that supports anything like that. But everything we've talked about, the additional diversity and culture training we've gone through, everything is talking about bonding the community back together with the police. But yet all these bills that seem to come out, a lot of them have divisive parts to them that are separating us from the community. And none more than this attempt to take school resource officers out of the schools takes us out of being part of the community and interwoven within the fabric of the community, which is what all police officers want to be. And I just thought it was so divisive that I said, I gotta say something, because this is just not right. There are so many ancillary effects besides just being a police officer in a school that the bonds that the community resource officers make with children is unbelievable. It reminds me years ago back when we had the DARE program. Right after it ended, they did a big study nationwide about DARE and how it helped or didn't help keep the youth of America off of drugs. But what it didn't measure was the connections and the bonds and how many relationships that were established with police officers because of that program was immeasurable, the good that it did. And I think the school resource officer program is the same type of entity and program that we need in schools.
Well, then why do you think, Sergeant Engstrand, why do you think Senator Gary Winfield wrote this? He's the sponsor, I saw, of the bill. I don't know if any co-sponsors are there. But why do you think his aim and his mission is to get rid of police officers on school campuses? What is he thinking that is wrong with that model?
I think he's thinking, and this is just me, I've never spoken to Senator Winfield about this on a one-on-one basis, so for me to presume what he's thinking would not be fair. And the fact that he and I have never talked about this is not a fair subject, but I think some of feel
think,
that and we're,
think, yeah,
we're...
Go ahead.
You know, can you, are you still there? Are,
yeah, it's not a robots? Great connection. It's not a great... I'm trying to get you into a better connection. I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay. I just think there's some stereotypical image out there that police are robots and we're, you know, we're just there to collect harm and hurt people and search lockers and that we're just there to arrest people when school resource officers are far from that. And just think of, gosh forbid, all the tragedy that we've had in schools lately throughout this country. If a school resource officer isn't there, how much longer does it take? We had Parkland, Florida, which unfortunately the school resource officer down there may not have acted in the quickest or proper manner right away. But think of how long, much longer it takes to get response there in an emergency situation than that. But the bonds, I talk to our school resource officers all the time. And the things they help the kids with, whether it's counseling or connection, is unprecedented. So I'm not sure why anybody would ever want to sponsor a bill that removes police from being part of the community.
So from your point of view, which is really interesting to me, Sergeant, I'm hearing that a school resource officer isn't really there as like a security guard standing there all day waiting, God forbid, for the next Adam Lanza. What you're telling me is they're much more deeply involved in the kids. Tell me about how that happens. Give me an example about how they go about doing their job, how they see their job.
They see their job as a form of a teacher, as a mentor, as a source for kids to come to, similar to a guidance counselor, right? They're there for every walk of life, anything a kid may need. They're more of a counselor service or having trouble at home or somebody that somebody can talk to besides a teacher. So they don't, you know, they don't want to tell their teacher what's going on, but they'll tell the school resource officer. You know, we used to have them in all levels of schools in Stanford, but now they're in the high schools and stuff. I wish we could get them back. I wish we could get them back in the middle schools. I wish we could get them back in the elementary schools.
Really?
You know, I see the way my children who are elementary age look at me and my fellow peers. And I say, that's what we want kids to grow up with, mutual respect of police officers. And that bond is helped formed by being in the schools, as we are approachable. We're not unapproachable. And that's how all the school resource officers I know that want that job, that's how they do it. The security factor is just a secondary reason to why they're there.
So that's really interesting. So in the way in which we are told that community policing is effective because it isn't about nabbing a criminal that day, but rather about establishing bonds of trust within the community, you're saying sort of the same thing with the younger population.
100% agree. It's been my experience over time, because I was a community police officer for a couple of years when we had a separate division for that. But I think all police officers in general are community resource officers, because that's what we're there for to begin with. But in schools, it breaks that bond, especially in a neighborhood. If that officer makes a connection with a child, it's perfect. You know, in a community resource program, to walk the beat and be in the community every day, it's easier to talk to that guy, and they build a trust about things that are going on, and you could learn things in a school that there may be a bullying situation where one person knows
True.
About and doesn't know about, but feels comfortable
Right.
telling the school resource officer.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you something, Sergeant. Let me give you an example of something and ask you something. Let's say there is a domestic violence dispute and a police officer is called to someone's home and there is a kid there. Is there any conversation ever or insight from the school resource officer who might know the kid back to somebody else at the precinct that could give the police officer some insight into maybe what's going on with the family? Is there ever that loop?
Absolutely, there is. There's that connection 100%. When we get anything like that, even if it's a guy just off the beat that gets called to somebody's house and sees a school-age child there, they'll find out what school they go to, We share that information with our youth bureau, which is where our school resources offers work out of. They get that information, and they also make contact with them after and follow up with them through the school. So 100%, it's a big network where even if it's a nobody, so to speak, police officer that just got called there randomly, but we will make that connection with the school 100%.
Yeah, because I would think that that would be critical, because then maybe there's an opportunity for a young person to go back to that police officer who they see and trust and like and confide a little bit. And maybe, you know, maybe there's a better resolution because of it.
Exactly. And we have had cases, obviously I'm not allowed to speak of them because of juveniles.
Right.
I know
right.
of cases where that has happened, where the school resource officer has gotten information from a student and helped out with home situations or got them help that they needed, whether it be even if it's a financial situation. Our school resource officers are so committed to the children of the schools that it's wonderful to see that it wasn't a school teacher or something like that, but another part of the community supporting each other. It goes so much more than just a police officer's uniform and security and like we've said it before, and arrests or all that. That is so secondary to the nature of what the school resource officer program is.
So we're chatting with Sergeant Chris Engstrand of the Sanford Police Department. I read your whole op-ed, and I thought it was clearly something that you wrote, and it was clearly from the heart. And what I thought was really interesting was you said, let us just admit that in Connecticut, the very well-organized defund police political lobby scored a decisive legislative victory in 2020. That said, now we must not let the whiplash of the political ideological divide weaken the protective environment provided for our children, society's most precious commodity. Do you see politics in this?
It's an op-ed, so obviously it's very personal. I totally see politics in it, because a lot of the bills that came out, I feel, and I don't know if you've seen some other stuff that we've written in regards to that, the bills were a knee-jerk reaction to what was believed to be a majority community belief, or that police have been so wrong for so many years, we need to fix it. And I don't know a police officer today that's not willing to work with the community. Okay, whatever you feel, we want to provide. But let's not destroy all the bonds we've created to do that.
Do you have any idea whether or not this bill has any traction to eliminate school resource officers, or is it just, you know, one of the many bills that gets floated around but doesn't make it out of committee?
I'm not sure yet. I know it's in its initial stages. It was just proposed. We do have several groups. Besides being the Stanford Police Association president, I'm also the vice president of a group called POAC, Police Officers Association of Connecticut, which is 22 separate police unions combined together to work at stuff on Hartford. And we've just begun feeling out where this bill or introduction of this might go. Several conversations we've had on this topic seem that there's a lot of support to keep the police officers, the school resource officers there. So I hope that overwhelmingly is the belief throughout Hartford. And if not, we're going to keep spreading that message, because we don't want to tear down the barriers that actually connect police officers to the community. That doesn't make any sense to me. When every training you go to, even the newer training that they want to add into these bills about diversity and community, and you have to do what the community needs and provide more for the community needs, I'm all for it. I'm 100% for anything like that. And I think taking community resources, police officers out of schools is complete opposite of that.
Are you going to be getting that 18-month extension of time to be able to have the training that is required to understand the new police accountability reform? I know that that's what the police unions have been advocating for.
My understanding is that they're breaking apart parts of it, whether it's the use of force piece or it's the qualified immunity piece, or certain sections of the bill have different enactment dates. And
I see.
My understanding is that they're just about to reach an agreement on, along with the Police of Chiefs Association support, that the use of force one is being worked on. They didn't change the qualifications, but I believe they're going to push back the start date on that portion in order to certify the trainers and get all, you know, almost 9,000 police officers in Connecticut certified to the standards that they want, which, again, we're all for. And police unions were saying, look, we'll do this. Just tell us what you want done. Give us the training. Tell us what you want us to do. But you were wanted to enact something beginning, you know, April 1st, but you didn't have the rules of the game. So it was like telling us, go play the game, but we're not going to tell you the rules of how to play it. So it didn't make any sense to have a standard that nobody knew what to do. So I think that has come. Go ahead.
I just want to ask you, Sergeant Chris Engstrand of Stamford, would you become a police officer again, and would you right now encourage your children to become a police officer?
That's a heck of a question. And I'm torn, especially with the school resource thing, because my entire family are educators. I was the only police officer, and I love my job. Don't get me wrong. For 24 years, it's provided a fantastic life for me. And I've gotten to meet people I would never get to meet. And that's one of the greatest things about being a police officer is you get to meet people from all different walks of life. You may go to the same town to work every day, but you never know what your 8 hours, 10 hours, whatever you're there for are going to bring or what's going to come across your plate, so to speak, for the day, which makes it amazing. And you connect, you have amazing bonds. In today's day and age, it's really hard because of bills like this make it hard to suggest to people to get into the profession. There are not very many professions that are getting scrutinized like we are today. I mean, besides the body cameras and dash cam cameras, okay, I'm all for it. You want to watch it and make it like Cops TV Live? Okay, I'm fine with that. I have no problem with that. I have nothing to hide, and the majority of police officers in the world don't either. Would I let my kids do it or suggest that they do it? I'm really torn on that question. Because I don't want them to ever feel ashamed of what they do. And I know many police officers have that feeling right now, that feel ashamed because of the way they're being treated and portrayed in some public media settings. I want my kids to be proud of what they do, as I am completely 100% proud of being a police officer and wear that hat proudly. And my service, 24 years of service, makes me proud to do what I do and want to continue. But I don't know if I would push my children that way. I honestly don't know to give you the best assessment right now. I want them to be proud of what they do.
That's an interesting take on it. That's really interesting. We're chatting with Sergeant Chris Engstrand. Because if I thought about being proud, I became a lawyer. My father was a lawyer. And I have to tell you, I think that lawyers are the number one most reviled profession in the United States of America. So I don't know if pride has anything to do with anything. But I'll tell you one thing. My kids said, we see what you do, Mom, and we don't want anything. We don't want any part of it. So it wasn't even a conversation at our dinner table because I didn't get too much satisfaction out of it. Let's put it that way. Sergeant Chris Engstrand, I'm sorry I'm not there to meet you in person. I would love to shake your hand and thank you for your service to this community, and thank you for your service to the people of Stamford and Fairfield County, and thank you very much for being on the show today.
I truly appreciate it. It is an honor to serve the community, and I am proud, and policing is a proud profession. I just don't want to see it destroyed over some knee-jerk reactions, and I hope we can work together in this, not only in Stamford and not only in Fairfield County and the state, but nationwide, because police officers, again, are proud of what they do and happy to put their lives on the line every day to protect others, because that's what we do. And it is an honorable profession. And I appreciate you taking the time and trying to help us.
Of course it is. Listen, we take you for granted, right? We want you to be the best epitome of Boy Scouts at all times. And we want you to nab the bad guys. And we want you to give everyone due process of law and read them their Miranda rights. And we want you to be around at a moment's notice, so God forbid someone is stealing our purse, you're right there to capture the bad guy. We ask a lot of our police officers. We really do. And I want to thank you for your service, really.
Thank you very much. Very much appreciated.
We'll be right back with more of the Lisa Wexler Show.